Her weight loss journey began really young, at the age of 12, because she was an obese child and continued to remain that way for long. What followed post that will unfold in the episode, but what is important for you to know right now is that the obese child has grown up to be a renowned nutritionist today. Welcome Ishi Khosla, who strongly believes in the power of foods, is also an author and entrepreneur, and is the reason behind healthy and age-defying looks for so many people. In this episode, along with her journey, we will also understand why she doesn't believe in a diet chart, how to choose the right nutritionist for yourself, is mindful eating as a trend here to stay, and a million other things. Just hold on. Hello, ma'am.
Hello. Hi, Sakshi.
Yeah. So the flag bearer of the saying, you are what you eat. How are you doing?
I'm very good, Sakshi. Thank you for having me on the show.
It's my pleasure. I read that your weight loss journey began really young, at the age of 14, when you were studying nutrition as a self-help exercise. So tell us about the initial stages, like what led you into this? How did it all begin?
Well, yes, you are right. It began fairly early in my life, even before 14, I would say. I was an obese child, as even a infant, I was obese. And I continued to remain that way up until 11, 12 years, where I then became, I think I began to be a little aware of this and conscious of what my body was, and my body image became an issue. And I think that was the transitioning time into, reconsidering what I was eating and going on a diet, which was self-prescribed and self-planned. And whatever I was doing at that point seemed to have an impact on my weight and my skin, and my confidence levels began to improve. And it became very, very empowering. I think it was all at a subconscious level. I was not really aware of this 100% because I was young, but I do recall feeling the desire to read more and to understand more about food and about nutrients, and then picking up these kind of books which were giving me that information. And that was the hook. That's where it all kind of began in my head. I was a foodie always. I loved the food that was cooked in our homes. It was a lot of food which was cooked, of variety of things, breads and bakery and ice creams. Mm-hmm. And so it was all there. But what to eat and what not to eat, and what food was doing to me. For instance, not eating at night in the, for dinner time seemed to be having a huge impact on my waistline. And that's when I decided not to have dinner. And today, if you see weight loss regimes are really talking about this kind of, missing the evening meal being lighter and all that. So all that was all trial and error for me, but it seemed to be having a profound impact on my mind. And the desire to go deeper and deeper led me to choose nutrition as a career path rather than medicine, which was my initial plan. So I was in the biology group in class 10th. And 11th rather, and then I didn't even look at medical school as an option, and that's how it all started. And the deeper I go into it, the more fascinating this world is.
Great. But even if you practice something for self-exercise, so it usually remains confined to our own selves. To turn it into a career, we usually need to see things through a broader perspective. So what exactly was your thought process
When I was a young child, very, very young, I would say barely even below 10, I remember my parents' conversation with me on what I'd like to do in life. And
Even
I,
before 10.
yes. And I said, I want to study and get the highest degree, whatever there is. And I did not even know what a master's meant or what a bachelor's meant or what a doctorate meant. But I just said, I want to do the highest level, whatever it is. Then they said, that's a, doctorate. So I said, whatever it is, I want to achieve that. And I do remember getting profoundly affected by the movies that we saw in those days. And there were these movies where the hero was dying of cancer. And I think it was Anand, that one of them I recall. And it was Safar also, and maybe some others. And as a kid, I think it did something to my head. And I said, I want to be a doctor and find a cure for cancer. So, I do remember these two things, which very clearly have, I think, manifested in reality in a certain way of healing, and through whatever ways. And yeah, and like I said to you, I was playing and experimenting with things, and I, as a young adolescent, suffered from acne. And when I was reading these books, somewhere it associated vitamin A with acne. And there I was, supplementing with vitamin A and seeing my skin absolutely clear, within a few, matter of few weeks. And that's what I'm saying, the power of food, which it,
Yeah.
the awareness of what it could do to you was really, really very empowering. And so when you know this has happened to you and you are seeing some research on it and reading, then you are inclined to even help somebody else in the same boat. And
Right.
that becomes a, very, very, rich experience. So I think it was all happening at the same time for me. And that as a young adult, like I said, a weight problem. So you want to help people with, people who are suffering in the same way. And I think that was extremely, I would say, something which shaped the way I thought and got confidence from. Because, when you are an obese person or a overweight person, your confidence levels are not up there. You and remember, when you're like that, very often you are shy and you don't want to get out into the open and play sports and come out in the open and do things which others are doing. So therefore, this helping others was almost like a therapy for me. And I think today I can say very safely that that is the best stress buster for me, that's the best meditation for me, and that's a spiritual experience for me. Just sharing and healing people with, with whatever your knowledge is.
That's great. I mean, I and I'm sure so many people like me must be glad you took that decision. During the process,
Yes.
you didn't stick to the role of a nutritionist only. You kept on exploring and expanding to an entrepreneur, author, researcher, welfare worker, and so much more. So, was it difficult to strike a balance between them?
Not quite, because at the end of the day, it's all kind of unplanned, and one thing has led to the other. I, like I said, never planned any of these things. They've just kind of happened.
Happened.
One, one thing led to the other. For instance, while I was in Escorts, in the heart hospital, I used to find patients feeling very deprived and, feeling very anxious and depressed sometimes about what diets they were asked to have. So, for an example, have a heart patient in mind who's got a weight problem and who's got high blood pressure and who's got diabetes, and that's the typical cocktail one sees. And if this patient is told that, you don't eat, you shouldn't be eating sugar for your diabetes, you shouldn't be eating too much salt for your blood pressure, and you shouldn't be eating too much of fat, and you know, reduce your caloric intake for managing your weight and your heart issues. This man is going to be depressed. And I, at one point, questioned this kind of advice. And I said, this is needless and need not be the way we practice nutrition and we practice the art of healing. It has to be done better, and it has to be based more on, you know, science with more robust evidence. So I used to do my own research and found that many of these were fallacious, and all you needed to do was change the individual's, you know, kind of cooking medium, improve the cooking oils, give them more vegetables, give them, you know, get better sweeteners and all of that. And, you know, increase their fiber with better grains and more appropriate grains, reduce their grains. All of that was seemingly far more important and easy for me to get across the patient, and the compliance was better, and there was no need to say don't have butter, don't have ghee, don't have eggs for your cholesterol, etc., etc. So this was almost like a path-breaking way of dealing with nutrition and you know, advice for such patients. The question came, how does this then happen for a person? So I'm saying, have a better oil, or have a better flour, or better snacks, healthier snacks. They were not available. And I said, you know, someone needs to put these together, because these are very simple things to do. If an individual like me can prepare these foods in my own home and make, say, healthy cookies or a healthy bread or a healthy atta, why can't we make them ready-made and for people to just buy off the shelf and right. make life simpler and don't burden these people who are already burdened with health problems? So that angst and that kind of you know, dissatisfaction in my practice, I'm not happy with what I'm saying because these are not available. So I kept thinking of doing something on these, and that is what led me to set up the health food company myself, because nobody was doing good, genuine work in this area. They didn't even understand health. For health food, people just believed it was about low fat and sugar free and this free and that free kind of food, which was not required. So we needed food which was minimally processed. We needed food which was not with toxic ingredients. We needed food with high fiber, with healthier ingredients, and you know, simple things like that. More vegetables in food, more phytochemicals in food, enhance the nutrition quotient through supplements. So that's the way the idea was born in my head. And that's how the health food company took shape way back in 2001. Because I cannot do personally anything for just lip service and for the sake of saying things. It has to translate into meaning, and it has to change a person's life. If it hasn't done that, then it's of no use.
So, right. You are the perfect example of be the change you wish to see.
I suppose that is what it was. That's how you can describe it. Yeah.
Yeah. So what kept you going all through?
And mind you, I was not really, I still am not a business-minded person. So entrepreneurship was not something I saw myself doing, but it just came to me because of this particular situation, which used to be encountered by me on a daily basis. It was almost like a frustration that, why can't these things be available? So that's how it led to that. And then the other parts of, my work, which means writing, again, came from that genuine need to make people comply with whatever they need to do and whatever they are told. But unless they understand what the problem is, the compliance will be low. So for giving you an example, being in a heart hospital then, we spoke so much about cholesterol management. And I used to tell my colleagues, I was in the Department of Preventive Cardiology, I said, you don't have the time, these doctors don't have the time to explain what is cholesterol to this patient. And patients come from all walks of life. Some of them are very ignorant. So let's not make this a sham that we're using jargon and we're not even explaining to the person what this can do or what this is all about. So that's the birth of my writing work. I mean, I used to write articles, and that's how the book called The Cholesterol Facts was authored by me in those years. And it began with a little handout and, you know, giveaway, like, you know, for the patient to just take home a few leaflets. And then it became bigger and bigger, and it became my first book. And then it was translated in Hindi, and, you know, it continued to serve, you know, huge benefit to the patients who came, and so on and so forth. Then it just, there's like no looking back. But communication and addressing the need to, I wouldn't use the word educate because it's a little condescending. It's just about creating that awareness among people, that health awareness about why you need to do certain things. We are definitely giving you what to do, the actions, the interventions, but somewhere if it's backed up with the, you know, the little extra information, it doesn't hurt.
There are hundreds of ads of dietitians and nutritionists on an everyday basis. Whenever, I mean, we open Facebook, Instagram, any social media site. And there are so many of them that offer something, some quick solutions or something of that sort. So how do you think people at large can choose the right nutritionist for themselves?
Well, actually, you're right.
How do we filter it out?
See, this space was not as populated as it has become now. And it's not been as regulated as it perhaps needs to be. But then that's all right. People have become far more, not only curious, far more aware and far more interested in this whole area of food and nutrition. I, as a practitioner of health and, you know, in the lectures and the seminars and, you know, whatever we used to have in those days, there was a far more, you know, there was an indifference towards these things. Oh, nutrition, oh, when you're sick. Diets, only when you're overweight. Not otherwise. We're all fine. And so the first part of my lecture always was in trying to give them like a wake-up call, a motivational talk that, hey, the next half an hour is something very important for you. So please do listen and please do focus on these areas. So that was the way things were in those days. And today, people are wanting more, hungrier for more, because health problems have only worsened over the past 20, 25 years. And so then now with the pandemic, it's like no looking back. People are far more you know, interested in knowing how to improve their immunity and to what they're eating and how they are living. And all these things have become really, really important. And so much information has been shared in this last 1.5 years. So natural that this whole field is going to grow. And there are lots of people who are practicing out of interest. Some people are qualified, some people are not qualified, and some people just, you know, like to, you know, practice this because of their own experiences. So whatever it is, whether it's friendly advice, whether it's qualified, or the idea is that you must use your common sense, that something which is too out of the ordinary, something which is sounding too good to be true, it needs to be reevaluated and you know, revisited. So it I think what you should be looking for is for good credible websites, good credible sources of information, credible practitioners, qualified practitioners, and of course combine your own sense of you know, whatever suits you and your common sense. Everything is not for everybody. So I think you have to be mindful of that. And anything which is too out of the ordinary, like I said, or not making sense, please validate it by a professional, but a qualified professional, because there are lots of professionals too these days who are into this space and doing this business of nutrition counseling and what I call self-styled nutritionist. But I think there is no need to feel threatened by any of these things, because it's only helping people to create awareness and grow. This field is growing. And I think the regulatory bodies do need to put their checks and balances in place. They need to be regulating the space so that malpractices are prevented and quackery is prevented and harm is prevented. So that needs to be regulated for sure. There's no two ways about it. And people do succumb to these kind of things. Very often they fall into these traps and have some disastrous results.
Yeah. Like you just mentioned, the pandemic has made us realize the importance of healthy living. And suddenly, mindful eating became a trend. Mm-hmm. So what do you think about this shift, or rather awareness? Do you think it is here to stay? I mean, obviously, we all want it to.
Yes, Sakshi, that's a good question. Is it here to stay or not? My guess is it will, because the pandemic has brought its own set of issues which nobody could ever imagine. So whether it was the infection itself, which means the after effects of the virus or the medication, and coupled with the fact that there has been very odd way of living for the last 1.5 years, people haven't stepped out and have been eating at home and eating sometimes wrong food and preoccupied with food and large meals sitting at home, has caused a damage to people's health mentally and physically. After that, it has been the vaccination itself. It has come up with its own bunch of issues which are health related, and we are seeing them on a daily basis. People are their diabetes control is getting affected, or their hormonal imbalances are setting in, or their skin problems, immune system issues, hair problems, everything, mental health issues, everything is like getting negatively affected. And I don't see these as short-term things. They're bound to stay on. And therefore, more and more people are getting interested in their bodies and their health and wanting to do more and more. So I have a feeling it's going to stay.
Yeah, I think we can call it amongst the very few positive things of the virus and lockdown.
True.
We can count it among, the positive things. Okay, so an advice for people preparing for a career in nutrition?
Well, I think the important thing is that you must love this field. You must have a passion for this field. And this career, as far as I'm referring to now, is therapeutic nutrition. Nutrition comes in a wide variety of courses today. So there are, food technology courses, and there are other many other branches, sub-branches of nutrition. But right now we are referring to the therapeutic nutrition or clinical practice of nutrition. So whatever it is that you're doing, it must be coming from your heart and soul. And only then you can sort of make that impact on somebody. So love what you do and have a passion and study deep and deep, because this is an evolving science. And, medicine is also evolving. Nutrition science is also evolving. However, the traditional practices of, healing like Ayurveda and the science of food in those days, that has been there for a long time. So I would recommend that everybody who's pursuing this area must integrate the traditional forms of food practices and knowledge of food into mainstream science and validate things and put them in perspective, rather than just having a one lens kind of a approach that, okay, this is what science is. But a lot of things that we were told or studied in nutrition as myths. For instance, I'll give you an example. Calorie is a calorie morning or evening. That's not true. We used to be told it's a myth but whatever you eat, it's morning or evening, doesn't matter. But we know that today, through science itself, that a calorie is not a calorie morning or evening. It works differently in the evening and works differently in the morning. So it's an evolving science, and there are so many examples which I can share with you on this. But the simple message is that be open, have an integrated approach, have a common sense approach, and just love what you do. And I would just say that, you know, if you do love what you do, you will never be working in your life. So that's one simple message. So,
yeah, something to take away home.
Yes.
So, yeah, beautifully said. It's going to help so many listeners.
I hope so, because people ask me, oh, you worked so hard. I said, I hardly worked, but it didn't seem like work. It didn't seem like work.
Yeah, because you love what you do.
Yes.
Yeah. We'll just have a short Q&A round now.
Mm-hmm.
Your journey in one word?
Exciting and unplanned.
Okay. If we talk about junk and processed food, the consumption rate is high among youngsters. An advice that will help them get away with it?
Treat them, assume that they are drugs because they have addictive components in them. Junk food is not food by definition. Food is something which nourishes you. Food is not something which is going to harm you. So eat the food that, rather I would say, don't eat the food that you love alone. Eat the food that loves you.
If you had to suggest a diet chart for healthy living, what would its core elements be?
Let me first say that I don't believe in a chart approach. This is one of the biggest fallacies of our field, that no chart can define what I eat or what I should eat. It's a very customized approach. One man's food is another man's poison. Food has to be something which is eaten according to the days, according to the seasons, according to the individual constitution. So one chart can never do that. So I think this approach is flawed. But if you want to know what foods one should have in on a regular basis, it should have nuts and seeds. It should have adequate protein and fiber, and the cereals and the carbohydrates should be according to the individual's needs, and which means even food sensitivity. So certain food for certain grains do not suit certain people. So it should be according to the person's needs and according to their health requirements. So whatever cereal you have, and also address when you're eating, you know, so everything is important. And a chart or an approach which addresses all of this, how much to eat, what to eat, how much to eat, when to eat, how to eat, and also addresses what you digest, is going to be part of this chart.
Okay. Secret people don't know about your journey yet.
I'm a big foodie.
No, this is not a secret.
What I'll say is I cannot do a diet. I can't diet.
What?
I cannot diet.
No, you are kidding. No, nobody believe this.
Yeah, I don't believe in diets. Therefore, I can't diet. I follow my body's cues and I eat according to what I need and what I should be eating. And sometimes if I've eaten wrong, I know how to deal with it. So I don't diet. I don't deprive myself from anything. Yes, the only thing that I would say is I am for the last 10 years gluten-free. That's the only thing. Maybe people don't know that.
Yeah, no, I read this in one of your interviews.
Right.
Yeah. An advice you would give to 18-year-old Ishi?
Have more fun. Don't take life so seriously.
Did you take it?
I think I was a serious person.
Okay, but now you're not. So, I mean, you're living backwards.
I'm recognizing it.
Yeah, that's nice. A failure that has shaped you into the person you are today. Or if you want, you can rephrase it as an opportunity.
I don't think I have had an experience where I would say that I wish I had done this differently.
That's great. I mean, that's the ideal life.
What I'm saying is that I learn from my mistakes and I just keep, you know, reinventing myself.
So you don't regret that.
Yes. I take my mistakes as opportunities to grow and to learn. And I don't have that feeling that I have done anything which has made that radical difference. Because I'm pretty clued into my, you know, my strengths and my weaknesses. So I don't think
that's a strength. An experience that you remember for good and will always do.
This particular patient of mine was one of the most dramatic life changers. I mean, today I would say that, I think I've got the answer to your previous question as we talk. I'll tell you about it. But she was a young 18-year-old girl. And she came to me when she was completely non-functional. She was drugged with anti-epileptic drugs and antidepressants and psychotic substances that she was a complete write-off. And her parents didn't know where to go because she was under the best doctors in the city. And she had become non-functional to the point of being violent and, violent and abusive. And the neighbors and family had written her off as a lunatic. You know, she's become mad. And when I saw her, and within, I think, 2 weeks, things started changing and she became better and better and better to the point after 6 months, she was absolutely normal, went back to her college. All her academics had stopped for 1 year. She was not going to school and coming to a college. And it was one big mess in her life, which was a turnaround within, I think, a few weeks. This was a new person and continues to remain so grateful. So it was heart-wrenching to see the family and to see her and to see and the gratification and the satisfaction that I derived from changing her life is something which I'll always remember. The mother would have never dreamt in the symptoms that she came with to seek nutrition advice. And how she reached me was a miracle. And what happened to her was another story. So I think that is one of my biggest, most dramatic changes that have happened. And I will answer your question, previous question, which I would probably say that if there is a failure, and I wouldn't treat it like a failure, but it was something I wish I had been able to help my father and my parents-in-law's health problems. If I had the knowledge which I have today about food and nutrition and about gut health, I would have had them with me today alive. I'm no one to say that. That's, of course, a divine power. But if I have to say that, I can't say it's a failure, but I definitely feel I regret not being able to help them. When I today look at the problems they had, this situation of losing them wouldn't have happened. So that is one big thing. But of course, I let it be as a part of the divine design. But my father, for instance, had stomach issues. He had anemia. He had unexplained kidney issues. He was a very disciplined eater. And nobody could understand his problem. But today, with the science of food and nutrition and functional medicine, there is everything that can be, whatever he suffered from can be understood and we can join all the dots. And likewise, my in-laws. So that is one regret. Sure.
Yeah, you wish things would have been differently for this particular thing.
I wish the science of the gut was more, we were more aware about it in those days, which is not too far. They died in 2004 and 5.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Why do you think it is important to celebrate your journey? That is the podcast.
to celebrate your journey is, I would say, just to keep yourself, to be charging yourself and recharging yourself to continue to feel good about what has been achieved. And because what has been achieved is probably just a fraction of what should have been, what can be done and what needs to be done, what should be done. If there is so much out there which needs to be done to make that difference. So I guess these things help to recognize your work and to keep going.
Lovely. Thank you so much, ma'am. It was such an informative episode and I loved having you here with us.